Yes, the one from CCJJ. Yes, that's the March 24 letter that's in your package from CCJJ. I explained it more fully in my summary. Number one, the way that the catering was handled made it attributable to the grant, and so we had to reimburse for the catering. Number two, the way the registration fees were were accounted for, and I don't know if talking to the AG's grants guy, I'm not sure that they could have been accounted any other way. But they were accounted and put straight into UPC instead of being plowed back into the grant, which they should have been. Anytime you do a federal grant and do a conference that's paid for by federal money and charge a registration fee for it, then you have to plow them back in before you take their federal grant money. So we had to pay back. They only charged us half of the registration fee, which I thought was quite nice of them. I don't know where they, neither I nor Glenn, the grants guy, can fully understand their reasoning, but we're not going to complain about 49%. So, and then the last one is the, has nothing to do with the sexual violence conference. Rather, it was a mistake that Glenn discovered and brought to CCJJ's attention. They didn't catch it, but when Donna came online, and this was 2 years ago, when he filled out the grant report, he mistakenly just put in everything as if she had started in January. She didn't actually start till the middle of February, and so that difference, that month and a half difference, we of course have to pay that back as well. So the total is 5,000 and change. I can't remember what the total is. I have authorized the AG's office to 557656. I've sent a letter to the AG's office, the administration division, authorizing them to send that money to CCJJ so we can get this cleared up. We have been audited on other grants in the past. This is the first time we've received a negative report. I apologize to the council for the mistakes. I'm not sure, I mean, it's my I'm the one that signs them, and it's so, and I apologize for that. I have met with staff, I've met with the AG's administrator to learn what he can tell me. I've met with staff. We will have more training on these so that this does not happen in the future, especially where we're dealing with federal grants. All I can do at this point is apologize and say I'm sorry that it happened. The last thing we want to do is get CCJJ mad at us. Well, maybe not the last thing. The last thing would be to get DOJ mad at us. But
we could always say you're the scapegoat, though.
Yeah, that's right. You know where I live, I guess. So maybe I'll stay in Alaska. Am I still part of the United States?
No more.
Okay. That's the full financial report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions or issues that anyone wants to discuss in regards to the financial reports? No? Case management report, Ron and Mark.
Okay, let me start out. I have, like I said, I've told Ron to get started on some things. There's some real problems with that I was not, that I again should have been aware of. Davis County's been having trouble for a month or so. Ron thought it had been fixed, and he didn't find out till till last week that it hadn't been fixed. Summit County, he's been trying to get, there's still a technical problem up there getting e-filing going. And everybody's kind of dropped the ball, I think, because nobody can figure out how to solve it. Utah County, we haven't, so there's some things that need to be done. I'm glad that, and I've told Ron Thursday, last week, too, that number one, to get started on those items. But number two, he and Bob are going to have some serious discussions as it went it in preparation of the budget. And I told them that I told Ron, I expect that Bob will want this, but at least while I'm there, I told him he's to start working on a honest assessment as to, given the resources available, well, first of all, what resources will be needed to continue to make PIMS a viable case management system that will keep up with what needs to be done for those offices that continue to want to use it. And a whole bunch of offices have said they want to continue to use it. Number two, given the fact that that's what it's going to cost, is it realistically possible to continue to do that? Or should UPC say, we'll continue to support it as best we can for a couple of years, and within that 2 years, you guys are going to, everybody's going to have to figure out what else to do. I did not ask Ron to make that assessment today. That's something that he and Bob are going to have to talk about. But I expect that that's going to be something that will be discussed seriously at the June meeting, the budget meeting. Right now, I'm seriously concerned. Unless some more resources are available, meaning more money, as to whether UPC can honestly continue to support PIMS. We can continue to use it as it now sits, but e-filing, bringing office reports in, a lot of those things, and to continue to make it grow and fix bugs that come up. I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to go any further than that because I'm going to be out of here. And if I leave with a smile on my face, it'll be mostly because of I won't have to solve the PIMS problem.
My job is still open in Aura.
Applications are closed.
Bob referenced having a discussion about increasing bail schedules. Should that be part of the PIMS conversation as well?
Well, it's going to have to be part of our
speeding tickets.
It'll have to be part of our overall budget discussion we're going to have in June, because we've got to we'll see there where the surcharge numbers are at that point in time, but surcharge funds have just not been where they've been at in the past.
Yeah,
and so we're going to have to figure this out on the overall budget for the council.
You're not going to be able to.
It's expensive to speed in Salt Lake than it is in Las Vegas or Denver.
Well, see, because Ryan, actually, I looked at that. I compared, states that surround Utah. It's 200. It's in the high 200s in Arizona, Nevada, California is in the high 200s. I mean, it's a bargain to speed in Utah. And I'm not saying that we should, raise our rates that high. I mean, obviously, somebody expressed we don't want to put, the burden on the misdemeanors and on the speeding tickets to fund us, and I understand that, but at the same time, for people that have been around, I've been prosecuting in Utah for 17 years, I know there's more. I don't remember the last time that the bail schedule was raised on speeding tickets. I mean, it's been 90 forever. Even if we went up 10 or 20 bucks or, whatever, I think that's...
And the same is, I don't know if it doesn't affect our situation, but the same is true for the fellow lines, which goes back to when a long time.
Yeah, because I had talked to Judge Ayer. I had spoken with Judge Ayer down in Spanish Fort. I talked with our Justice Court judges, and they said that they've actually been discussing that at their judicial meetings. And so I think that a release would be open to that discussion.
The other item, of course, which has been discussed, is trying to get legislative action. I know that Post is working on legislative, and I don't know the details of what they're doing. Just sketchily, I think they're working on something to where the legislature will throw in, if the surcharge doesn't come up to, you know, what both posts is budgeted, that there will be a, that they're going to, you know, put some money somewhere that posts can draw from to bring that budget up. My recommendation would be that UPC get with Post and try to work on something together, because we both come out of the public safety surcharge account. The Post and public safety were somewhat reluctant to get involved with us when we met with them before the end of last year. Probably a number of reasons, one of which was probably they were unsure what was going to happen in the AG's office at that time. That was before the transition, when we last had a meeting with them. Whether that attitude of somewhat arm's length on the part of the commissioner in working with us has changed now or will change, I don't know. But I did experience some concern, and nobody ever said anything, but it was kind of a backing off. Initially, they said, yeah, let's get together, and then as things got further along, there was kind of a backing off, and then the last thing I heard was Post said, well, we've got something going on, and really didn't share with me what it was. So...
Yes.
Bottom line, the surcharge unless the surcharge really increases, you can't continue. You can't plan on supporting PIMS out of the surcharge. Now, you can continue to pay all of Ron's salary out of the surcharge, but that's another issue as to whether how that's worked. But that's okay. I'm done. Ron's turn.
Okay, so I haven't, just so everybody knows, as far as getting PIMS installed in places and getting the heat finder that is working, at least most of the time, through PIMS, which is just information, basically, not the rest of the documents, which of course nobody else is doing now, next year. One of the problems I've had is that if there's any kind of a problem, there's always... I need to contact ATS, wait for them to respond to me, and then wait for me to respond back to them, wait for them to respond back, and the responses have been very slow. And each time I talk to them, and every hour they spend costs us $70 or $90 an hour for the time they spend solving any problems I talk to them about. So I backed off a little bit from talking to them because of the budget issues. I didn't want to spend money that wasn't there just to fix problems that I don't know how to fix. One of the problems I have is I'm not considered ATS personnel, no matter what I do here. So I have no connection, no way to look at the server where the e-filing goes through to determine what the problems are. So I have to depend on them. So I kind of backed off. That was the reason why I haven't done a lot of installations of PIMS with e-filing, because it's really hard and costly to get the problem solved right now. So that's part of the background of that. So I did back off of that for a while. In the meantime, I've been looking at other possible options. I don't know, what was it, a month or two ago, Cache County decided to go live with a different system. I guess it's no secret they're going with MUDON. And they invited me up there, paid for me to come up there, by the way. They paid for it rather than UPC. And I went up there and spent some time just seeing what they're doing and what it is. What I've learned from that is that there's other systems that'll do the job. It's just a matter of where you're going to pay it. Whether you pay it up front to a third-party vendor, or pay it through user fees, or pay it through the UPC budget, it all costs. And all of them work well. PIMS does a good job for what it is. It could do better if we had the funding to throw into it to make it better. Third-party system, they have lots of money and resources to throw at it so they can make it do whatever they need to do, so there's advantage there. The big thing is that, from what I understand, at least with the new MUDON vendor, is they do not do the e-filing interface. And so after talking with Mark, I started looking into doing an e-filing interface, see if we could do that help them do that, but at the same time, look at how that would work at getting the e-filing interface working from PIMS to the courts, too, as a different way than PIMS is doing it now, directly to the courts rather than through an intermediary server that we have no way to access or work with. So I've been looking into that and made some progress. I could give a full report if we need to, but I don't think right now a written report might be a little better before the next meeting, as well as estimates, costs, and viability, all that kind of stuff. I have some stuff I'm preparing, very detailed stuff for the next budget meeting that'll help with that. So anyway, I backed off because of the budget thing. The question I have about the money that's come in from user fees voluntarily submitted by folks now is that Mark was saying, I didn't think about this the other day, Mark, but I just wanted to say I was just a little concerned. Does that cover a shortfall? If I spend that, does that make $12,000 more shortfall?
Yes.
Or, I mean, I'm not sure how the budget works with that money. Because if we
right now
doing other things other than just salaries and, you know, just keeping working the way we are, is that going to put us further in the hole?
Right now, it's the way the budget is formulated right now, and I'm going to recommend that Bob change it, as I've told you for the last couple of meetings, that the PIMS budgeted as a separate item, as a separate enterprise in the whole budget. But right now, that 12.5 is just income, and so that helps account for the $40,000 surplus we've got. So essentially, we've got, but on the other hand, you've got a bunch of money budgeted in your budget for work. You know, you don't have a zero budget. You've got a budget of, I can't remember the exact amount, but $20,000-$30,000 for PIMS work in the budget.
Okay, so we've got money there that we need and to go ahead and solve some of the issues that are outstanding.
And obviously we cannot, in good faith, use that user fee for anything other than PIMS work. It has to be used for PIMS work.
Yeah,
now, I don't think we have to spend $3,300 worth on Salt Lake City and $1,000 worth on Iron County and so forth, but it does have to be, it will have to be accounted for,
okay,
and shown that it was used for PIMS work.
So with that in mind, just so an update here, I put in, get help for anything with PIMS now. If I don't know what's going on and need help from the programmer and from GPS, I have to submit a trouble ticket, wait for them to respond to that, then I respond to their response, and then it can sometimes take, the one with Davis County that's having trouble with refunding, I submitted one, it's been 2 weeks, and we still don't have anything, I still have nothing from them. To say what the issue is, they haven't responded to the issue, so I'm hoping, I'm assuming that they're doing something, because I keep, so they don't respond directly to my emails unless it's in related to that trouble ticket. So I'm having a little trouble getting the coordination there with GPS. Used to be I could give them a call, they'd take care of it, and we'd be done.
If I could interrupt, Ron, at that
point. It's been a little problematic that way.
If I could interrupt him.
Yeah.
Several years ago, I went up and kind of had a come to Jesus talk with the head of DTS, or the next to the top of DTS, and things got considerably better for quite a while. I think it may be time for Bob and me to go up and introduce Bob and have another come to Jesus talk with those guys and see if that helps. Because this is the same kind of runaround we were getting at that time, is that they would put us off and we're busy with something else. And so, I will arrange, once Bob gets on board, I'll arrange to go up and introduce him and see what we can do about having a discussion with him about their service to us.
Okay, so just in summary, basically I've looked at a lot of options. I've been looking at a lot of options with PIMS and third-party vendors and what people, some Cache County's gone to another vendor, Uinta County is going, is that correct?
Yes, we'll go live July
28th. July with Carpel, right?
Carpel was
the Carpel, and those, I know all those vendors. I've met them in years past and associated with the national organization I work with, but they're good companies, but it's just a matter of who you're going to pay and what does it best for you. But PIMS is a viable option if the funding is there to keep it updated and working properly. How that funding works, well, I guess we'll have a big discussion next meeting about how we're going to do that ongoing. If PIMS is not funded properly based on what I've looked at, it will work probably for a good maybe 4, 5, 7 years as it is, if you want to keep using it as it is. If you want to fix it and make it work for more and make your workflow work better and do e-filing and everything else, there's got to be some funding.
Well, that's the biggest deficit right now, isn't it? Is the connectivity with e-filing and the...
Yeah,
and the,
I mean
that's a huge thing. And the other thing is we're just sort of keeping it afloat where other private vendors actually are keeping ahead of the market in terms of technology. So we're just sort of keeping that afloat. And it's not that we can't fund it for what its intended purpose was, but the world and the environment is changing.
Which is true, basically, is every software project I've ever known, if you don't keep moving forward with it, it gets to where it can't be used anymore at some point. It just doesn't do the job. There are some things simple things like file management on a computer, if it does it now, it'll probably do it until the operating system changes. But for stuff like this, things change. So I'm looking at options in detail. I'll have a detailed report about what I feel like all the options are, and then we can discuss that, and I'll just put it down in writing so you can see it. The costs, for example, of funding PIMS properly aren't really much different than the cost of going with it. I don't know what the cost of another system are, but from what I understand, the cost of funding PIMS properly, if put on the, as a user fee thing, probably going to be very similar to what it would cost to go with another system. So anyway, I'll give you a detailed report of that at the budget meeting. I've got partly ready if you have, but I don't think it's really a good idea to put it out there right now because it's not very...
You need to talk with Bob about it before you put anything out, any figures out there.
Yeah, he'll be the first one to get a look at it, obviously.
I believe at our last meeting, we voted and said not to go forward with any of the new development of PIMS. It was sort of to maintain the status quo. There were some pending installations you had going on. The ones with e-filing, those are the ones that you've at this time stopped. Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't done any new ones, except for I do have several requests in them, and I thought I would go ahead and do those since there seems to be ability to do that right now, but right. I just wanted to clarify and make sure that's okay.
If I might ask, for example, doing the e-filing where have you had recently an e-filing installation?
Well, I worked in Grand County, so it went fairly smoothly.
Okay.
For all the things, but Summit County just still can't get it work. Emory County, there were issues there. Got the software installed that'll allow it. But the communications in there were working.
Okay. So like for Emory County...
And Davis County, it stopped working for some reason. Just it was working, and now it's not. I don't have any idea why.
So with those typical installations, like Grand County went well, did you have to pay any extra money out to DTS on that?
No. When we have problems, and I can't solve it because it involves the communication with the server, I have
right.
to contact DTS, and every time I contact them, it causes whatever... amount of hours they spend getting back to me and figuring out.
So with Emory County, did you spend extra money with DTS on that county?
I haven't really tracked exactly what it costs for each time I looked at it. I'm not sure because they never tell me. I guess until about 2-3 months later when I get a report that says we charged you so many thousands of dollars.
Right.
It's not tied to anything. I have no idea where it's coming from.
Okay.
That's another part of the problem. Their budgeting, I mean, their allocation of what they charge. They charge it to us, but they don't say what for. So I don't know where it's coming from.
I think that's something that Bob and Mark should talk to them about.
See if we can do something about
because if you're going to, like, for Duchesne County, I would like to have the e-filing installed in mine right now. I think that the county should be at least responsible for some of those costs. Those extra costs that are incurred with DTS that we have to pay somehow. And I don't have a problem paying that. I think those who are going to use that service probably shouldn't have a problem paying for that, as long as we can know beforehand the range what we're looking at. You know, that's what I would need.
I have really no idea, because I call them, I say, this is the problem, or actually, I don't call them. I submit a ticket into their ticketing system. They get back to me either by email or a phone call. I tell them what the problem is. I send them any files or anything I can, and then they go to work at it. I have no idea how much time they're spending on it. They don't update me. They don't say what the progress is. They have
I'm going to ask Bob and Mark to get that fixed with DTS. We need those reports.
I mean, the user fees were there to maintain the system,
not for new installation.
The whole purpose of user fees is to get some financial stability in there for the maintenance of the system, not for the supplement for particular counties. Those are individual costs that need to be borne by that. Because we're paying for just the maintenance of the model right now.
I agree. I don't have a problem doing that, for a small county, small jurisdiction, that's going to work. It's going to be cheaper than implementing a whole new system like Mark's putting in.
Yeah. See, I think our half year costs were $20,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So we picked up a big chunk of it. Which is fine, but it's to maintain the system, not to go out there and start.
Right. So I'd appreciate a report on that next time.
And just a comment to go back with our earlier discussion about the bail schedule. I'm lingering on the notion that there's this state system of prosecutors that's constitutionally created, and then in 1990 they enabled support for that system through the Utah Prosecution Council. I don't know if any of us foresaw in 1990 the role that technology would play in our jobs.
Yeah.
But Article 8, Section 16 says what it says, and I think we at least got to approach the legislature and say the modifications to the surcharge, however they occur, either through a bail schedule increase or some kind of percentage shift, which is part of Bob's vision of technologizing. I just think we've got to make them. This is probably the time of the year to make that to our legislature.
Right. And as everyone knows, as we're working on our budget issues here, Bob's going to appreciate, as he comes in, each of our help in introducing him to our own legislators, giving him the influence that we have, vouching for him in this situation. Not a lot of experience on the Hill here, but somebody who's willing to work hard for us, and we need to use our influence for him as well. So,
say one more thing. As I've looked at it, Tim's, I don't know how you want to work this out, but and I suspect there will be more. In fact, I'm pretty sure Salt Lake County, you're looking for something, right?
Yes.
Put down RFP.
I think it's a realistic bet for the Wasatch Front here.
Okay, so if some of the bigger counties in particular go to a different system, they're paying for that. Are we going to charge user fees to everybody that's not using PIMS? And if we don't, then the number of people supplying money to those user fees is going to go down, which means the cost is going to go up.
That's,
and that'll be all in my report and how the numbers change based on those numbers.
That's a fair assumption, because that was the whole point of finally getting to that was, which is for individual.
It's in the order in which they came in, not in any.
Right. Obviously, the Salt Lake County's not on here, neither is Davis County or Weber.
So, yes, when they pull out, they're not going to be paying the user fees.
Yeah, so anyway, it's going to have a big deal.
Sure.
I'll have some kind of a chart that shows how that works, and so that you can all see that at the budget meeting. But the issue is that some funding has to be, there's a lot of different ways to fund things. Every other place I can think of right now that has a thing like this, for example, the prime example is like Wisconsin. They have an organization like ours. They have a complete IT department that's funded in a different way, not through a surcharge account like UPC is. And they have like, I don't know, 10 or 12 people on staff that does their system. They're like a software company internally, and they're making some efficiencies that way, or may not be, but I mean, if we don't have some way to fund it, PIMS will have trouble going on other than as it exists right now. So So anyway, I'll have a full report. I'll be off to the ICC and talking with Bob and Mark or whoever else, any options anybody else can see about where we can save healthcare. I think it's important to consider now because if you don't, it's obviously going to just die.